It's just a time check. It is very nearly noon. We have, by my count, at least 8 items left. So I'd encourage people, if they're making presentations, to provide the information that you think is most salient for the City Council to know. Can you please read items 1285 and 1299 together?
1285, accept firm fixed price of $73 million from James W. Fowler Company for the design and construction of the Willamette River Crossing Project.
Yes.
And 1299, authorize the Water Bureau to acquire certain permanent and temporary property rights necessary for construction of the Willamette River Crossing through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority as a last resort.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Good morning. I'm Teresa Elliott, Portland Water Bureau Chief Engineer. With me is Tim Collins, the project manager for the project, and Lester Spitzer from procurement. We are here to ask for two different, as you read, we are here to ask for two different council actions. One is for procurement's report to council, and the second is for authorization to proceed with doing property negotiations, and then if that fails, to go through the condemnation process. And as soon as Carla brings up the presentation, Tim will start, and we'll be as quick as we can.
Good morning, Council, ladies and gentlemen. I will make this as quickly as possible since I understand we're under a time constraint. But so the question of the day is, why build a new water main underneath the Willamette River? So here I've shown a chart that describes the interval of magnitude 9.0 subduction zone earthquakes in the recent past 8,000 years. I guess that's not so recent. And what I'd like to mention here is that the last big earthquake happened in 1700. We're 318 years from that time. The best science tells us that these earthquakes happen every 350 years or so, which puts us at a chance of 30 to 35% of having one of these earthquakes in the next 50 years. So that makes it somewhat likely in our lifetime and quite likely in the lifetimes of our grandchildren. The major thing that happens during a big subduction zone earthquake is that the loose soils near the banks of the Willamette River are very susceptible to liquefaction, and that means they will move into the Willamette River, and that will tear them apart. So when that happens, the 6 crossings that we have that cross the Willamette River will most likely fail. We've done some recent studies, and they indicate that they will be damaged, and some of them will fail during a big subduction zone earthquake. So with that happening, the likelihood of restoring water to the west side of Portland becomes quite problematic and would be at least 6 to 12 months of outage, we estimate. That's very not necessarily precise, but we believe that would impact $1.6 to $3 billion of lost revenue in those 6 months. There's 3 major hospitals that sit in this particular zone, and that would have a huge impact on how the city recovers if those places didn't have water. 31% of the city's employment is in this area, and this impact wouldn't just be for the 6 months. We know from New Orleans and other major outages that this impact continues for a much longer time than that because the businesses leave the city. So the project challenges of building a crossing is we have somewhat complex geology that's underneath the Willamette River. We have to get below the liquefiable soils, and that pushes us into a crossing that's almost a mile long. And most of the crossing cannot be accessed from the surface by normal trenching mechanisms. This type of construction requires a specialized equipment and expertise, and there's only a half dozen or so companies in the country that can do this type of trenchless technology at the diameter that we need to provide average daily demand to the west side of the city when an earthquake happens. And as you know, this is a highly urbanized area, so there's not a whole lot of open space. We have to work in constrained access. And then although this is limits the amount of easements, we still have some complex easement agreements to get accomplished. So the proposed alignment begins on the west side near the intersection of Harbor and NATO. It'll go underneath the River Place condos, underneath the river, to the north of OMSI, and then coming out near the intersection of 7th and Stevens. And then it'll come on the surface streets to hook to the west side connections after that. So here's a basic schematic of the geology that we're going through. So the gray is the fill that we need to avoid, and we'll go down quite a bit below the depth of the riverbank, and half of the construction will be this horizontal directional drilling. There'll be an intermediate shaft, and this will allow us to get under the obstructions such as the Markham Bridge piers. And then on the east side, it will be a microtunneling construction. So all of the, this thing is about a mile long from one end to the other. One of the advantages of this thing is that initial concepts, we're going to have to loft the pipe over quite a long stretch of neighborhoods, and we've been able to work with the design build method to reduce the impacts to the neighborhood. So our thoughts on how this project will impact the neighborhoods has started very early. So far we've had two project briefings, two open houses. We presented the project to the pub in November. We've discussed the fact that we're going to need an easement to the property owners. That's part of the eminent domain. And then the design build process will involve community level interactions from the very start of the project and the design. As far as equity is concerned, we have 35% of the non-specialty subcontracts have been, per the contract, are going to be minority businesses, and that turns out to be about $13 million worth of work. We've been going on this for about 20 years, so we're working. Today will be quite a good day if it happens, and we'll be moving on and making this a reality. So we went through a two-stage process, RFQ and RFP. With the RFQ, we qualified three teams that could do this work. We received one proposal from the J.W. Fowler Company. Their cost was a little bit higher. Well, their cost was higher than budgeted. So when we came to council in 2015, we had a low confidence estimate of $40 million for the construction part of the work. The current proposal is $73.5 million to a total contract, a total project amount of $90 million. This we will be able to adjust the five-year CIP so that this project will not impact the rates that the people pay for the for their water. Parts of the cost influences, construction inflation has been significant in the last 3 years. The steel tariffs have impacted the steel industry. Modified construction, which is largely related to the shaft. That shaft was not imagined early on, and is to make the project work within the tight constraints that we put. They felt that that was the best way to minimize public impacts and to increase the or to decrease the risk of the project. And then the market conditions related to the HDD contractors, they're related to the petroleum industry, which is also experiencing a lot of inflation and costs. So the other part of this is we're doing easements, and there's going to be six easements. Three of them will be permanent, and three of them will be for the staging area, and there'll be some on the west side and some on the east side, and so those will be part, the other part of the request today is for eminent domain so that we can get authority to do this work. The permanent easements will be at depth and they won't impact the surface at all. So the design is planned to be completed sometime about a year from now, with construction complete in October of 2020. 2021 and the project closeout of January 2022.
Thanks, Tim. Good morning, or good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners. I'm Lester Spitler, the Chief Procurement Officer. I'm going to deliver the CPO report, Chief Procurement Officer report that you're used to hearing to supplement the presentation that Tim just did. So you have before you the procurement report recommending a contract with James W. Fowler for the Willamette River Crossing Design-Build Project in the amount of $73,500,000. As Tim said, the engineer's estimate at the time that we solicited was $40 million. However, the confidence level on that estimate was low. On December 16, 2015, Council approved Ordinance Number 187520, authorizing an exemption to the competitive low bid process and authorizing procurement services to competitively solicit proposals for a design-build approach. As Tim said, we did a two-step process. So the first step was to send out a request for qualifications. We received three responses. There was a committee that was representative of the project team, as well as one minority evaluator. And that team decided that all three responders were qualified. So we sent the second step, request for proposals, to the three qualified firms. We sent that out to them in November of 2017 with a due date of March 1st, 2018. As Tim said, we received one proposal. There was a committee that evaluated that proposal that was representative of the project team as well as two members of the Minority Evaluator Program. The evaluation committee determined that the proposal was acceptable and procurement services issued notice of intent to award in May of 2018 and the project team proceeded with negotiations thereafter. The total estimated amount of the contract that is being recommended is $73,500,000. The city's standard disadvantaged minority women and emerging small business subcontractor and supplier plan was issued along with the RFP. The city established an aspirational goal for State of Oregon COBID certified firms that range from 22% to 35% of the design and applicable non-specialty hard construction costs. James W. Fowler and their subcontractors at all tier levels have made a commitment of 35% utilization through subcontractors, material suppliers, manufacturers. 6% of that is for emerging small businesses. James W. Fowler is not a certified company. They are located in Dallas, Oregon. They have a current City of Portland business tax license, as well as they're in full compliance with the city's contract requirements. If the council has any questions, we're happy to answer those. If not, we're recommending that you approve the contract.
I have one question on the estimate, and one obviously has to agree that the cost of construction has gone up precipitously in the last 3 years, so I get the difference between the 40 and the 73. My question is really with regard to the modified construction part of this. If you're saying about half of the $33 million increase has to do with the modified construction, you said that is to mitigate the impact on the neighborhood. Could you describe what that impact on the neighborhood would be and what your thinking was with regard to why it was worth saving or adding $16 million to the potential cost of this in order to mitigate the impact on the neighborhood? What does that mean exactly?
Okay, so the largest piece of that was related to the slide I showed about the lofting of the pipe. So the pipe, when in the HDD method, you want to install the pipe all at one time.
So it's already connected.
It's all put together.
Yep. So you basically have to thread it in like a straw.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
You do. And so we don't have enough space, even with the modified method, to install all of it. But by putting the shaft in, it allowed us to, in effect, run that extra length of pipe to a connection point underneath the shaft. And so that greatly reduced the amount of pipe we had to put together on the surface, because we could use the microtunnel portion to string the pipe. And literally, it's like a storage place to put the pipe.
Okay, subsurface. So can I ask you sort of a dumb question? Just because somebody will eventually ask me, they'll say, why is the city council paying effectively $16 million. Is this because the pipe would be going through people's yards? Is that the deal?
We have
to go over their houses, through their yards, through their driveways?
It's highly likely, yes. And it would impact traffic for much more.
It would literally be suspended over the air?
It would be suspended over the air.
For a mile.
It would be, for about a mile. And it would go basically all the way up into the Ladd's Addition, crossing MLK and the railroad tracks. And that's all of those are things that it made more sense to pay for an extra shaft and drop the pipe down in there as the storage rather than having it go over.
Okay, you've convinced me. Good. Thank you. That's what I figured, but I just wanted to make sure I understood that. Any other questions? Commissioner Saltzman.
I think it's implicit in what you're saying, but this will be seismically resilient, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Any public testimony on
this? Is this an ordinance?
The second is an ordinance. So, is there any public testimony specific to 1299, which is authorizing the Water Bureau to acquire permanent and temporary property rights? So, this is the issue of eminent domain.
We had two people sign up for 1299. We have Maggie and Robert Patterson.
Hello.
Greetings.
I'm Robert Patterson. Access to clean water is obviously important, and I'm happy to hear that the mayor and the commission are considering this authorization. Since I've been homeless in Portland, one thing that I've learned is that it is hard to find a place to pee, and it's hard to find a place to take a shower. Since clean water is a public good, access to clean water shouldn't just be limited to those with homes. There need to be more facilities in this city for homeless people to pee and for homeless people to take a shower. Homelessness should be a protected class. I'm Robert Patterson.
Thank you. That concludes public testimony, so I'll do this. Item 1299 is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. I'll entertain a motion on the report.
So moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion to accept from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Saltzman. Please call the roll.
You, Daly.
Thank you for the report. Aye.
Fritz.
This is absolutely crucial, obviously, and Director Mike Stroh, thank you for being here today. Thank you for worrying about this for 20 years, and I'm hopeful that we can get it done in time. Aye.
Fish.
Excellent report. This has been on the Bureau's capital improvement plan for a long time, and pleased to see that we're moving forward. Aye.
Saltzman.
Good work. Aye.
Wheeler.
Very interesting report. I vote aye. The report's adopted. Item 1280.